From Given, this is Purposing, the podcast that lifts the lid on how to run a truly purpose-driven business. I'm Becky Willen, and with the help of leaders at some of the world's most recognized brands, I'll be demystifying this often misunderstood topic into clear, actionable advice you can use in your own business. This week, I'm joined by Emilio Tenuta, Chief Sustainability Officer at Ecolab. It's a business you might not have heard of, but you'll wish you had, because what they're doing in sustainability is seriously impressive. With more than 30 years of experience at the intersection of business and sustainability, Emilio has been instrumental in proving that environmental stewardship and commercial success can and should go hand in hand. In this conversation, you'll hear how Ecolab's exponential return on investment framework is proving that sustainability, organizational effectiveness, and profitability can grow together. Why water, often the forgotten part of the climate puzzle, is rising fast on the business agenda, and how Ecolab embeds purpose at scale through measurable impact and practical partnerships. But before all that, let's take a step back to the family farm in southern Italy, where Emilio first learned the value of water and the curiosity that shaped his career journey in sustainability.
My family originates from southern Italy, a place called Calabria. In Calabria, folks have like two jobs, right? They have a 9-to-5 job, and then they also have a small farm that really supports a lot of the food that goes on their dinner table every night. I would remember walking into the fields with my grandfather, who had a cistern that he had created that supported the rainwater capture and then this man-made drip irrigation system that he was so proud of.
That experience planted a lifelong fascination with how science and business could work together to solve real-world problems.
My undergrad is in chemistry. One of the cool research projects that I was involved in is figuring out in the state of Wisconsin how they could move away during heavy snowfalls from trucks using salt into moving to safer alternatives that would still provide the benefit of the safety that we needed, obviously, on the roads. But they were looking for more environmental friendly solutions.
It was a project that would lead him directly to the company he's been with for over 40 years. From his early work as an application engineer, Emilio rose through the ranks at Nalco. And as the world began to wake up to sustainability, he saw a new kind of leadership opportunity emerging.
In the late 2000s, I became the first director of sustainability for legacy Nalco. That was really kind of the start of where we started to see food companies, big brands out there, Nestle, Heinz, and others, starting to really have a focus on water and climate.
And when Nalco merged with Ecolab in 2011, that opportunity became even bigger, helping define what purpose-driven business could mean at a global scale.
Not only do you need finance and, you know, obviously all these critical areas to integrate two very large companies, but sustainability was so core to the purpose of the new company that sustainability was a work stream, which I led, and then ultimately became the chief sustainability officer for the new company.
And more than 40 years on, the lesson from his grandfather's field still guide him, that the smartest systems are also the most human.
And I remember how that instilled in me the feeling of water conservation and the importance that is to really supporting a very circular strategy to me that really kind of influenced my sustainability focus that I have today.
So, Emilio, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Becky. Thanks for having us.
So for anyone listening who hasn't heard of Ecolab, what do you do?
Yeah, so we are the global leader in water, hygiene, and infection prevention solutions. We operate in over 170 countries, serve more than 40 industries with about 48,000 associates, half of them in the field working alongside of our customers. And our solutions are essentially improving operational efficiencies around water and energy use for our customers across food, healthcare, life sciences, hospitality, including industrial markets, while, you know, helping all these industries reduce their overall costs. And, you know, I just feel that what's really important for our, the audience to know is that, you know, Ecolab, you know, reaches a really broad set of industries, but we also are very deep. So, for example, we help safeguard 1/3 of the world's food supply when you think of processed food, or help manage over 1/4 of the world's power when it comes to utilities. So I just feel that the company is a very diverse company, but we often are considered working behind the scenes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And maybe we could, because with, you know, 50,000 employees around the world, like working in so many different sectors and for, I guess, a lot of big businesses, can you describe, I guess, in a little more detail, what kinds of solutions are Ecolab people helping to deliver in those different sectors?
Absolutely. So when we think of the growth of AI today, we know that that's obviously front page news. AI-driven data centers are experiencing exponential growth in energy and cooling demands. And so we have been on the forefront of developing technology that really enables the growth of AI. So we refer to that as, this technology is direct chip cooling, which is more efficient than air cooling. And it requires precise monitoring to ensure system reliability and performance and longevity. And so it's all about, can you optimize the amount of water you need, the energy use, extending equipment life, which is important when you think of these high compute data center servers that they operate. It's also about uptime and performance. So it's really cutting edge, because I think it gives us an opportunity to really think about the next generation of high performance data centers, which is obviously growing exponentially.
So Ecolab's purpose is to make the world cleaner, safer, and healthier, helping customers succeed while protecting people and the resources vital to life. Can you unpack what that really means in practice?
Absolutely. I get the privilege of waking up every day with 48,000 associates with a purpose of helping protect the resources vital to life. Obviously, that's a huge motivator and inspiring all of us around the work that Ecolab does. We work, as I mentioned, with customers to deliver these measurable outcomes related to business performance, but also water savings, emissions reduction, while also delivering on that, on the cost reductions that businesses need to see. So in many ways, the faster we grow, given the solutions that we deliver, you know, around food, climate, public health, the more impact we have in the world. And so our purpose is really embedded in every solution, from food safety to industrial water use, in terms of how we enable our customers to perform better with less resources and at a lower cost, that really enables them to grow in the future.
Yeah. So let's get a bit more practical about some of that, because I think you've talked about the role that Ecolab plays in helping solve those huge challenges around, you know, water scarcity, climate change. Can you unpack a little bit about how those challenges are playing out for your clients, and perhaps some of the solutions, some of maybe, I don't know, the breakthrough solutions that you're most proud of?
Sure. So I feel that in many ways, like the water challenge, sometimes climate gets the front page news, and that is changing and it's evolving. But, you know, sometimes water is forgotten as part of that, how we solve the climate puzzle, because in many ways, the way we experience the impacts of climate change is through water, right? Droughts, floods, heat waves. And so in many ways, we feel that the work that our customers are doing continues to be challenged by water stress, water scarcity. And in many ways, that's an area that we continue to really support our customers in driving solutions that enable them not only to reduce their risk, but also to be more adaptive to the changing climate. And so one of the things that Ecolab is doing, for example, to support these needs that our customers have in these high water-stressed high-priority areas is things like WaterTrack IQ. So one of the things that we see, Becky, is that there's a gap between how to really get after better water management proactively, because there's a challenge in terms of how we measure water performance. We know the water coming in, we know the water going out, but we don't necessarily understand how the critical water circuits are using water. And so WaterTrack IQ is a solution that we developed that really enables us to get better visibility on the way water flows through a facility, no matter if it's a hotel or a food processing plant or a power utility, in terms of identifying savings as well as conservation to really driving the solutions you need to really get after water. You know, more and more big brands are really understanding that sustainability needs to be integrated as part of your strategy and as a growth engine, as opposed to just being kind of a sideshow or a bolt-on. And so we feel that's been part of our DNA for over 100 years. Ecolab was started in St. Paul, Minnesota. That's where we're headquartered. Ecolab really started, the name was Economics Laboratory. Now, many people would today, when we think of Ecolab, we think of ecological. But it's really, the origin is really around how do we drive operational performance and impact while also delivering on the savings that customers expect. That's really been the origin of our story.
So, Emilio, you're one of the architects of a brilliant concept, EROI, or Exponential Return on Investment, which basically directly ties sustainability priorities to profitability and business outcomes. I'm interested, how did that concept come about?
The idea really came up probably in 2009, when I first took on the role of sustainability director at that time. And it came to me because in many ways I was, you know, working with commercial and business leaders internally and externally. And I felt that the conversation around water, energy, and greenhouse gas emissions at that time, which were just beginning, were not really resonating. And I saw right away that there needed to be a way for us to demonstrate the business case for bridging the gap between sustainability and business performance. And so this offered an opportunity to develop a concept called EROI, which refers to the exponential return on investment that we deliver by implementing solutions that have both a business and impact and sustainability benefit to a business. The response that we received by developing that moniker was overwhelming from not only customers, but also investors. They're really demanding that measurable impact that they needed to see to not only say that sustainability was not just a sideshow, but it was actually integrated into the business.
Yeah. And I mean, it sounds great, and maybe even like the holy grail of sustainability, but like, how does it work in practice? Can you explain, you know, the core methodology, the key metrics that you look at?
We often refer to this, and we've now have, you know, integrated EROI into the commercial teams at Ecolab. It's become the standard in which the way we want to interact and approach our customers in terms of how they leverage our solutions. And it really starts with three dimensions that I'll call. One is, how does the solution enable to deliver business outcomes? So think of a food and beverage plant. They are focused on a business outcome of food safety and high quality products that come from their facility. So we need to make sure that we develop a solution that delivers on that attribute of food safety. If you're a hotel, it's about guest satisfaction, right? And increasing traffic through the hotel. Can you do that and also go to the second dimension, which is about operational performance? It's about productivity. It's about capacity building. It's about doing more with less. For example, in a hotel, labor is a very high cost. Can we help them reduce their labor and optimize their labor use and still deliver on that guest satisfaction. Dimension number three is around environmental impact. Can you do all of that and also reduce your water, energy, waste, and greenhouse gas emissions? When you do all three and you can monetize those attributes, we refer to that as total value delivered. So taking a more holistic approach to this value that's been created, that enables us to really, as you see, I mean, it's maximizing outcomes, it's minimizing the impact, but it's also optimizing their total cost that leads to this higher return to their business by virtue of using that solution, which is where the concept of EROI was born.
So to what extent have you embedded EROI into the day-to-day business at Ecolab? So you talked about your commercial teams, but what might a mid-level manager tell you about how it shows up in the work that they do day-to-day?
Well, it's a great question, because at the end of the day, we really want to make sure that it is really cascading down through the organization, but also you get the bottom-up groundswell that you want. So for mid-level managers, they use EROI to, number one, prioritize high-impact projects that they feel really deliver on their business and environmental goals, to communicate the value to their internal stakeholders. That's important, because you want to make sure that you showcase the wins and successes. And then three, it really aligns with what many of us have now, which is our sustainability and operational KPIs that ladder up to our corporate goals.
And I guess what I think is interesting about it is, as you say, it's a sort of, it's a framework and an approach rather than like a one size fits all methodology or set of metrics. And that feels really important, because that allows you to tailor the KPIs to the sector that clients are in, to the kind of specific business priorities that they have. And I think that's important, because I think sometimes in sustainability, we see such a desire for standardization that actually it can remove the nuance that actually makes solutions really relevant and therefore be able to create value in a particular business context.
I agree.
And just because I guess now that our understanding of sustainability is broader than purely like environmental impacts, and obviously safety, you know, is part of this, have customers ever asked you to try and bring more of the social dimensions of sustainability into EROI?
Yeah, so in many ways, we work with organizations that are part of coalitions, for example, like let's talk about the Water Resilience Coalition, which was housed in the UN Global Compact and the CEO Water Mandate. There's 41 companies, by the way, with a market cap of $5 trillion, and their primary purpose is really to get CEOs to raise the profile of water as a priority on the corporate agenda. Well, guess what? That has a number of aspects to it that are supporting business outcomes, operational performance, and environmental impact. Well, around environmental impact, how do you then take it to another level? Because what we know is that, you know, if you're a large beverage plant, or a large beverage company working in, have facilities and plants in places like Africa or Asia Pacific or South America that are, you know, potentially in vulnerable communities. They want to also demonstrate their commitment to how better looking at water management in a way that proactively enables them to really support not only their water conservation goals, but resilience, and also how they actually support global water access, for example, in areas where water, clean water isn't available like it would be in developed countries. So to me, there is aspects where the EROI-TVD framework can build on the work that goes on in terms of how you can actually communicate the impact that we're having beyond the fence line, because it's all about collective action, which is the systemic change that we need to see.
It's fascinating hearing you talk, Emilio, because I think not every sustainability team has got such a clear focus on business outcomes. And I guess I'm interested in what this means for the skills and capabilities that you've developed in your own team. And I guess also what other sustainability teams can really learn from that experience.
Well, I mean, I feel that the skills and capabilities we built within the team are intentionally designed to drive business growth through sustainability. And our team members have an incredible team that brings a unique blend of technical and scientific depth, but also business strategy acumen and a strong collaboration, and you can't forget communication skills as well. This combination, I think, allows us to operate not just as subject matter experts, but as strategic advisors, both internally and with customers as well. And so I think what sets us apart is the way we quantify impact and translate sustainability actions into tangible business outcomes. We're always connecting the dots between how does sustainability, or you know, generating impact and driving impact, really lead to value creation. And so for our sustainability teams, I'd say the biggest takeaway is this: adopt a consultative mindset, because it's not enough to be a technically sound advisor. You really have to also understand the real impact comes from when you link sustainability to the core business drivers, because that's what your stakeholders really care about.
Yeah. And that consultative mindset is so important if you're going to create change in an organization. So being really skilled at knowing how decisions get made and how investment gets prioritized, how to navigate a large, complex organization. I think that's increasingly becoming a really important skill for sustainability teams that perhaps wasn't so prioritized a few years ago when sustainability was a side project. Like if this is going to be integrated, it has to be, you know, you have to have people in the team who know how to navigate business, who know how to get business done in a different way.
Absolutely. It is an imperative today for those companies, as you mentioned earlier, where today more than ever, sustainability is being tested. And for us to have teams and developing the talent that supports these teams in a way that really allows us to earn a seat at the table to help shape the strategy, not just support it.
And so tell me a bit about how Ecolab's customers have reacted to EROI, because I can imagine, you know, on one level, this is a great sales tool for the business. But, you know, have customers, for example, adopted the approach in their own business? Like, what's the impact of that been? How, you know, how far have you been able to take this idea?
So I love this question, because one of the top questions that we get from investors to start is this: how do you help your customers solve their problems? And so the power of the TVD framework, the EROI framework that we spoke of, is it helps our commercial teams have a really deep understanding of the customer's priorities for growth. And so customers love EROI because it takes the mystery out of the equation. They can know exactly how our actions together are improving outcomes and driving operational performance and efficiency and doing more with less when it comes to water, energy, waste, but also doing that at the highest return. And so customers use EROI not only to justify their internal sustainability investments, but also to reduce their risk without compromising product and service quality. It also gives them a chance to report progress to their stakeholders, because it gives them a showcase, an example, a success. And we love it when they want to co-develop like case studies so that we can do more public storytelling. I think those are great examples of how our customers have, you know, embraced EROI.
I love that. Are there any in particular that, any examples that help bring that to life, Emilio?
So I love this one where, you know, large mountain resort business that we have been very involved in, and a lot of their clients really were very corporate responsibility focused, right? And so they wanted to achieve a net zero operating footprint by 2030 at this multi-location mountain resort company. And so they leveraged and partnered with Ecolab some of the solutions that enabled them to do that. So for example, you know, Ecolab Aquanomic, which is essentially our on-premise laundry program that uses 40% less water and less energy to deliver the white, fluffy, clean towels that we all love. or Smart Power, that is a back of the house in the on-premise restaurant that's a warewashing, so it goes into dish machines, that not only helps reduce the wash time and rework, but also enables them to get the desired guest satisfaction they want with clean ware. When you look at all this, what's amazing about this story is that not only do they deliver the guest satisfaction experience, but they also achieve their net zero goals, whether it be net zero waste to landfill or the 5.2 million gallons of water savings while avoiding 225 metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions. And the best of all, they saved over $225,000 in value by leveraging these solutions versus the baseline. So these are examples of how this mountain resort company really linked their sustainability and responsible strategy to a really, what it's not only just good for the climate or good for water, it's also good business.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess what I think is really interesting is that in the B2B sector, the potential to create better business outcomes as well as positive impact outcomes is just so compelling in a way that I guess in the B2C space, you know, if we're talking about businesses that sell to consumers, there may be some categories where sustainability and saving money go hand in hand. But actually, the driver for sustainability may be something else. It may be more about people's expectations. It may be more about kind of provenance of the brand. Whereas actually, it seems like in the B2B space, this ability to directly link sustainability outcomes and business outcomes is so powerful. I guess, yeah, is there anything else that you think kind of is interesting about what you're seeing in the B2B space when it comes to sustainability?
Well, I think more than ever, companies in different industries are also in the B2B space really focused on delivering the product attributes that they need and being able to really communicate and merchandise that they're able to be delivering the quality that they need for that particular company that's going to actually go to the consumer and do it with less water, less energy, reduced greenhouse gas emissions. But at the same time, being able to do more with less, I think is a really important aspect because let's face it, as much as consumers say they want sustainability, are they really going to pay more for sustainability? History tells us and studies have told us that they're not necessarily going to do that, but they're going to want to select brands based on their needs that really stand up to the impact that they're having in delivering that experience.
And so thinking about the journey that you've been on to create and develop EROI as a concept, you must have navigated a few challenges in terms of getting that right. So what would you say are the biggest mistakes that leaders make when they're trying to link sustainability priorities to business performance?
Well, first and foremost is the ability to not have developed the value model that quantifies the impact that you've delivered. I often talk about proof, not promises, which is if we are not able to demonstrate the evidence that we can deliver the return in addition to those impact benefits that everyone talks about, then we're going to fall short, because I feel that it will in today's world, it'll feel like sustainability is a luxury during good times, right? And not in bad times, right? It's like, how do you manage that? Well, it starts with being able to really deliver on the outcomes of value created and having a model that can really support that, which is what EROI does.
Yeah, yeah. So get the model right. And I guess what are some of the other things that people might not get right? Because I guess there's having the right model, but there's also a lot of stuff that I guess is more about culture, decision-making, strategy? Are there any other sort of mistakes that you've seen people make in pursuit of the alignment of sustainability and business performance?
So another is that we set these bold, ambitious goals and often fall short of those goals. And people often ask, why is that? And I think one of the challenges that we see is, how do you take sustainability where you integrate it into the business with the right value outcome model that we talked about that enables us to really break down the silos to supporting how the organization can rally around the goals? Not just the 2050 kind of lighthouse goal, but we need to have annual milestones that can ladder down to KPIs, key performance indicators. For example, one of the things that we often talk about is we have a net positive water impact goal as a company. What does that mean? If you're a plant manager in a location in Europe, how does you translate that? Well, the answer is it doesn't translate unless you actually help that plant manager and the staff really understand the key performance indicators that ladder up to that ambition. And I feel like that to me is a great example, which is the response is we have a water intensity goal, that's water use per unit output, that we actually have measured and we developed a target for that we measure against every year. When you string those together, it leads to the ability to reach your goals, which is one of the other big challenges that I see, is being able to break down those silos on how you achieve those goals.
So what would your top three pieces of advice be for a leader who's really looking to better align business performance and positive sustainability outcomes?
I would say that first and foremost, how do you integrate sustainability as part of this business strategy for the company? That to me involves not only a top-down discussion, because it's not a foregone conclusion that every CEO and every COO is fully aligned with that strategy, but making it less about the side show of where we've been in the past around risk reduction and compliance to more about how this will drive business growth and really making that clear connection for the executive leadership. That's number one. Number two, we share that without value outcomes, it falls flat. And so being able to really demonstrate that you've got a value quantification methodology that can deliver on business outcomes, operational performance, and environmental impact that can be monetized is a necessity. And then the third would be, how do you lead from the middle in an organization? In order for us to achieve success, how do we then develop the right operational model to achieve those goals? To me, those are three really key points that will support how a company really aligns their sustainability and business strategy for growth.
Yeah, yeah. And it does still seem like many companies are at the beginning of this journey. So if we were to look ahead, where would you love the conversation about sustainability and business performance going hand in hand to be in 5 years' time?
Well, one of the biggest things I think is that, and I'm really very optimistic about this in 5 years, is the ability to drive collective action. We can't solve a lot of the challenges that we just talked about alone. It requires coalitions. And the reason I say that is because we know that to solve the climate and water crisis, we need to see the systemic change in these areas around the world that are facing unprecedented challenges. And so the opportunity to have coalitions, the public-private partnerships that can support the policy and the collective action that we need to see is critical. And I really feel that that momentum has started. I used an example earlier of the Water Resilience Coalition, which Ecolab co-founded, 41 companies, having CEOs raise the profile of water up the corporate agenda to really link between water, climate, and nature, that we can have a net positive water impact in the world that not only drives the positive water actions that we need to see, but the fact that 150 companies can actually impact, along with their supply chain, a third of the fresh water use on the planet. If we can achieve those 150 companies coming together and really engaging the right policy to really support how we need to see the world really achieving access to all these natural resources that we need to really propel the world, I think that's exciting. And I feel like today, collective action is one of those areas that we're going to continue to see move up the priorities for companies.
Emilio, thank you for being such a brilliant guest on Purposing.
Well, thank you for having us, Becky. It was just a joy speaking to you, and really looking forward to the work and the progress that we can do together.
Thanks again to Emilio. Loads of brilliant ideas there. So here are a few things that I've taken from the conversation. I don't think there will ever be a single, simple set of metrics to define sustainable performance, and nor should there be. But what exponential return on investment gives us is a framework for doing it consistently. For it to work, it's got to be relevant to the business. And that's going to look a little different from one business to another. EROI is a powerful platform for cross-industry collaboration. Everyone knows that some sustainability challenges are just so complex they can only be solved by multiple stakeholders working together. But framing collaboration about exponential return on investment can create multiple reasons and real business benefits for organizations to lean in. And once again, we're reminded of the need for the most pioneering of sustainability teams to develop new skill sets. It's not only about technical know-how. It's about all the hard and soft skills connected to corporate strategy, innovation, and organizational transformation. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you'd like more practical advice on building a purpose-driven business with brilliant insights from people like Emilio, download the Insider's Guide to Purpose at givenagency.com/thinking.